It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is our good old friend. What day? Oh, it's Wednesday. I always forget what day of the week it is. It is Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, and it's 1900 UTC, or thereabouts at least. Yesterday, the show ended a little bit early. It was about 5 minutes short. And so then a rerun picked up at the end of a show, and I said goodbye a second time, and then another show started up. And so we had two intros and two exits, but three different shows played. So it's kind of funny. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and talk about some news. I'm doing this slightly differently. Yesterday, I recorded the whole show in mix. Well, today, I'm going to record part of it. Then I've got to stop, go to a meeting, come back, finish the show, upload it. So fingers crossed that all works. That plane comes together because, I was up late. I totally wiped my computer, reinstalled everything, and went back to Ubuntu 20.04, down from 21, and, of course, away from Manjaro, which is where I was before. There's just a whole bunch of stuff going on. But you know what? That's just me. You know, that's fine. We should really, though, get to the news. And we gotta start the way we always start.
World news.
That's right, with our world news. So let's go ahead and launch all our tabs. I haven't sorted these, so we're going to get all our news from each of the sources are going to be kind of lumped together. First up, this is coming to us from Molly. A 25-year-old Malian woman has given birth to 9 babies, 2 more than doctors had detected during scans. Halima Cisse gave birth to the non-uplets in Morocco. Molly's government flew her there for specialist care. "I'm very happy," her husband told the BBC. "My wife and the babies, 5 girls and 4 boys, are doing well." A woman who had 8 babies in the U.S. in 2009 holds the Guinness World Record for the most children delivered at a single birth to survive. 2 sets of non-uplets have previously been recorded, one born to a woman in Australia in 1971 and another to a woman in Malaysia in 1999, but none of those babies survived more than a few days. World record holder Nadia Suleiman's octuplets have grown up and are now 12 years old. She conceived them through in vitro fertilization. Fanta Sibi, Mali's health minister, congratulated the medical teams in both countries for the happy outcome. Ms. Cisse's pregnancy became a subject of fascination in Mali, even when it was thought she was only carrying septuplets, the Reuters news agency reports. Doctors in the West African nation have been concerned for her welfare and the chances of the baby's survivals, so the government intervened. After a 2-week stay in the hospital in Mali's capital, Bamako, the decision had been made to move Ms. Cisse to Morocco on March 30th, Dr. Sibi said. After 5 weeks at the Moroccan clinic, she gave birth by cesarean section on Tuesday. Her husband, Adjutant Kader Arbi, is still in Mali with the couple's older daughter, but he says he has been in constant touch with his wife in Morocco and says he's not worried about the family's future. "God gave us these children. He's the one to decide what will happen to them. I'm not worried about that. When the Almighty does something, he knows why," he told BBC Afrique. He says the family has been overwhelmed by the support they received. "Everybody called me. Everybody called. The Malian authorities called expressing their joy. I thank them. Even the president called me." The mother and her new 9 babies are expected to return home in several weeks. So, this is pretty wild, just because 10 kids, can you imagine? You go to sleep one day with one kid, and then, boom, a couple months later, you got 10. So anyway, I thought we'd start with something a little lighter hearted, less rough, just because, you know, it gets a little heavy. Let's see. Let's just go through some more stuff here. I tried to pick less infuriating news, so hopefully this fits the bill. All right. Next up, we got COVID refused nose swab scam busted in Indonesian airport. Several employees of a pharmaceutical company have been arrested in Indonesia for allegedly washing and reselling used COVID nasal swab test kits. Up to 9,000 passengers at an airport in Medan have been tested with the reused swab sticks, say police. Gross. State-owned company Kimia Pharma is now reportedly facing a potential lawsuit launched on behalf of the travelers. COVID nasal swab testing has become routine in many countries hit by the global pandemic. Police said they believe the scam had been happening since last December at Kuala Namu Airport in Medan, North Sumatra. Passengers are required to have a negative test if they want to fly, and the airport offers the option of getting the swabs done on site. Airport authorities had used antigen rapid test kits supplied by Kimia Pharma. Following complaints from passengers that they had received false positive test results, police sent an undercover officer to pose as a passenger last week. When they swabbed and received a positive test result, other officers swooped in and raided the test site, where they found a used test kit had been recycled. Last week, five Kimia Pharma employees, including the company's Medan manager, were arrested. The suspects are accused of breaking health and consumer laws by washing nasal swab kits and repackaging them for sale. Local authorities said they've compiled reports from 23 witnesses and are investigating whether the profit from the scam, estimated to be around 1.8 billion rupiah, which is £89,000 or $124,000, was used to fund the construction of a lavish house for one of the suspects. So this is just disgusting and scary for sure. wild. All right. Let's keep on going here. What else do we have? Well, there's so much going on. This is a cool quick one. Archaeologists uncover oldest human burial in Africa. Archaeologists have identified the oldest known human burial in Africa during field work that uncovered the remains of a child laid carefully to rest in a grave nearly 80,000 years ago. The arrangement of the bones shows the 3-year-old, named Mtoto, after the Swahili word for child, was placed with legs tucked to the chest and perhaps wrapped in a shroud with their head on a pillow before being gently covered in soil. Researchers discovered the delicate and degraded bones while excavating the floor beneath a sheltered overhang at the mouth of the Panga Yasaidi Cave in the tropical uplands of Kenya's coastal plain, about 10 miles from the shore. "This is quite spectacular," said Michael Petralgia, a professor of human evolution and prehistory at the Max Planck Institute for the Science of Human History in Germany. "It's the oldest human burial in Africa. It tells us something about our cognition, our sociality, and sociality, I don't know how to say that, and our behaviors, and they all are very familiar to us today." And there's a photo of the skull and the bones there that are laid to rest. Yeah, just really cool. It's neat to see how much and how little we change over the time. Alrighty, where were we? Sorry, that was the magic right there. There was a break, and now I'm back. Alright. So let's keep on going. We've got lots of news to go through. Rome court to rule on two Americans accused of fatally stabbing a police officer. And it is a chilling... The photo accompanying this is pretty chilling. There are two gentlemen, or I guess two men, youngsters, sitting in chairs. One guy has his arms crossed, and he's looking dead in the camera and looks very menacing. And the other guy next to him is looking at the guy that's looking at the camera, and he looks very worried. The fate of two American students accused of killing an Italian police officer will be decided by a Rome court this week in a case being closely watched in Italy. Finnegan Lee Elder, 21, and Natalie Horth, 20, both from California, were in Rome on a holiday when Mario Cercilio Riga was fatally stabbed on the street in the Italian capital in July 2019. Cercilio Riga, who was 35, had only just returned to work after his honeymoon. A state funeral was held for the officer, who the prosecutor, Maria Sabina Calabretta, said was killed in a disproportionate and deadly attack. Calabretta has called for the accused pair, who have been in prison since their arrest, to be given life sentences. Life imprisonment is not a trophy to be exhibited, but a just penalty. In the face of such tragic fact, nobody wins and nobody loses, Calabretta said in a rebuttal to defense arguments in late April. A jury will begin deliberating the case on Wednesday, with a verdict expected on Thursday. Elder's parents and the father of Natalie Horth, who is from an Italian background, are in Rome for the ruling. On July 26, 2019, Cercilio Riga was stabbed 11 times, and his colleague, Andrea Variale, was injured after the officers, both in plain clothes and without their service pistols, confronted Elder and Natalie Horth in the Prati district of Rome while investigating a bag snatch. Elder, who had traveled to Italy with an 18-centimeter or 7-inch combat knife in his suitcase, and Natalie Horth, say they mistook the officers for criminals out to get them. Earlier in the evening, the students had contacted a middleman to buy cocaine in Trastevere, a popular nightlife area. The middleman took them to a drug dealer who sold them aspirin instead for $80. In retaliation, they took the middleman's bag, containing his mobile phone, and fled before allegedly demanding a cash ransom and cocaine to return the bag. The middleman called his phone and arranged to meet the pair in the Prati district. He had also contacted the police to report the theft, and the two officers went to the site. The students fled the scene and the next day were traced to a hotel, where the police found the knife used to kill Cecilio Rega. Elder has admitted stabbing Cecilio Rega multiple times, but said he and Natalie Horth, were suddenly confronted by the men, who they thought were drug dealers. In an emotional statement to Rome's Assise court last September, Elder apologized. "I want to apologize to everyone, to Cecilio Rega's family and to his friends, to the whole world," he told Rome's court. "If I could go back and change things, I would do it now, but I can't." Roberto Capra, Elder's lawyer, said he apologized because he wanted to and not for any other reason. But of course, the court could evaluate this and considered this aspect when sentencing. In a more recent hearing, Elder said, "When those men approached, they immediately attacked us like they wanted to rob us or hurt us without saying a word and without showing any ID or any other object. They didn't even say polizia, which sounds like the English word for police." Calabretta dismissed defense arguments that Elder's constant fear of attack, the result of a history of psychiatric problems, had led him to kill Cecilio. So, it's just a tragic story, tragic tale. You know, a tale as old as time, I guess. Oh, man, I am just taking forever to get thoughts through my head. Yesterday, I hurt my back. I don't know how. I twisted wrong or sat funny or something for too long. And, man, it was just like hell on wheels. It was just so hard. So anyway, after that, I took a pain pill, and it sort of stopped hurting. But, ever since then, I've been kind of foggy. Anyway, ugh, jerks. Drugs are jerks. Don't trust them. All right.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh, yeah. We'll go ahead and get to a song here since I've lost the plot. This is called Leaving on a Jet Plane, and it's a cover of a song by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
All my bags are packed and ready to go. I'm standing here outside the door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morning. Taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Cause I'm
Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Hi, that is 100% correct. I was trying to fix my calendar while the song was playing. No luck, but that's all right. You are listening to a non-radio powered by SDF, just like the little radio guy said. But did you know that every single day at 1930 UTC, the Dubious Goals Committee plays right here on this station? Well, now you know. Monday through Monday, any single day of the week at 1930 UTC, you can hear Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. It is a blast. And if you're thinking, oh man, this is funny, fun, but I wish I had someone to talk to about that. Oh man, you can. All you got to do is SSH over to SDF, and you can SSH. Sometimes it's easier to SSH to tty.sdf.org if you're an OG. But anyway, you just SSH over, run com, C-O-M, Charlie Oscar Mike, is the utility, and that'll get you into the chat program used on the cluster or on SDF. Then all you gotta do is press G for go to, and then a non-radio, all lowercase, all smushed together, and you'll end up in the non-radio chat room. And it is a lot of fun. So hope to see you there. Thanks for listening. So let's go ahead and jump into some news. Let's finish this up. We've got about 10 minutes or so, 12 minutes, something like that. I'm bad with time. I don't know what day of the week it is, but it's okay. I only know two things. One, when is the weekend? And two, how much beer I have left? And the answer is six. I have six beers left. So that's pretty good. That's at least 2 days worth of beer. Pretty exciting. All right. Anyway, I'm just going off. Sorry. Let's talk about some Canadian. I got two Canadian stories for you. First, Canada authorizes Pfizer vaccine for children aged 12 to 15. Canada has authorized the use of Pfizer coronavirus vaccine for children between the ages of 12 and 15. It is the first country to do so for that age group. The country's health ministry made the decision based on data from phase 3 clinical trials on children that age. The department determined that this vaccine is safe and effective when used in this younger age group. An advisor at the ministry said, Pfizer says its jab works well in the age group. Canada has already authorized the use of Pfizer vaccine in people over 16. Countries recorded more than 1.2 million coronavirus cases, and roughly 20% of those have been in people under 19. Children's risk of becoming very ill or dying with COVID-19 is tiny, and throughout the pandemic, they've barely needed hospital treatment. As part of the vaccine's approval, Pfizer will have to continue providing information to Canada's health ministry on the safety, efficacy, and quality of the vaccine in those aged 12 to 15. In March, Pfizer said initial results from its trial of its vaccine in this age group showed 100% efficacy and a strong immune response. So, this is pretty exciting indeed. The youth, or people under 18, are a significant portion of the population, and if we can't get them vaccinated, how are we going to, you know, it's going to cause a big problem with gaining enough immunity for herd immunity, as they call it. All right, well, what else is going on in Canada? Well, nothing scary, nothing too bad, except, you know, mysterious brain diseases. What? That's right, mysterious brain disease. Sorry, that was callback to something. All right, doctors in Canada have been coming across patients showing symptoms similar to that of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, a rare fatal condition that attacks the brain. But when they took a closer look, what they found left them stumped. Almost 2 years ago, Roger Ellis collapsed at home with a seizure on his 40th wedding anniversary. In his early 60s, Mr. Ellis, who was born and raised around New Brunswick's bucolic Acadian Peninsula, had been healthy until that June and was enjoying his retirement after decades working as an industrial mechanic. His son, Stephen Ellis, says after that fateful day, his father's health rapidly declined. He had delusions, hallucinations, weight loss, aggression, repetitive speech, he says. At one point, he couldn't even walk, so in the span of 3 months, we were being brought to a hospital to tell us they believed he was dying, but no one knew why. Roger Ellis's doctor first suspected Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD, Charlie Juliet Delta. CJD is a human prion disease, a fatal and rare degenerative brain disorder that sees patients present with symptoms like failing memory, behavioral changes, and difficulties with coordination. One widely known variant is One widely known category is variant CJD, which is linked to eating contaminated meat infected with mad cow disease. CJD also belongs to a wider category of brain disorders like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS, it's alpha-lima sierra, in which protein in the nervous system becomes misfolded and aggregated. But Mr. Ellis's CJD test came back negative, as did the barrage of other tests his doctors put him through as they tried to pinpoint the cause of his illness. His son says the medical team did their best to alleviate his father's varying symptoms, but they were still left with a mystery: what was behind Mr. Ellis's decline? In March of this year, the younger Mr. Ellis came across a possible, if partial, answer. Radio Canada, the public broadcaster, obtained a copy of a public health memo that had been sent to the province's medical professionals warning of a cluster of patients exhibiting an unknown degenerative brain disease. "The first thing I said was, 'This is my dad,'" he recalls. Roger Ellis is now believed to be one of those affected with the illness and is under the care of Dr. Alier Marrero, the neurologist with Moncton's Dr. George L. Dumont University Hospital Center, says doctors first came across the baffling disease in 2015. At the time, it was one patient, an isolated and atypical case. But since then, there have been more patients like the first. Enough now that doctors have been able to identify the cluster as a different condition or syndrome not seen before. The province says it's currently tracking 48 cases evenly split between men and women in ages ranging from 18 to 85. Those patients are from the Arcadian Peninsula and Moncton areas of New Brunswick. 6 people are believed to have died from the illness. And New Brunswick, Moncton, and Arcadian Peninsula, for everyone like me who doesn't know, so you've got Maine way up there north part of the United States. On the other side of Maine is New Brunswick, and New Brunswick is next to Nova Scotia. And anyway, Moncton is on the south, the far north, on the north border that borders the sea. Moncton's on the east half, and Arcadian Peninsula is on the west half, or the further north half, I guess. Anyway, it's hard to say. Anyway, it's a mysterious brain disease. They got all sorts of freaking... It's a very long story, sorry. His dad is in a specialized care and needs some assistance with daily activities and struggles with speech and sleep issues. Steve Ellis runs a Facebook support group for those affected by the condition. Most of all, he wants to know what made his father sick. I know they're working on that, but how did this happen? So it's still a mystery. We'll see. Maybe we'll get an answer. If there's any news or follow-up, I'll be sure to let you know. Now that I've spent so much time on that, we're going to have to brush through the stories that are probably more relevant but less meaningful, stuff that made me feel less feelings. First up, Goldman Sachs tells bankers to return to office in June. Goldman Sachs has told its UK bankers they need to be ready to return to the office in June. That is the date on which the government hopes to lift legal limits on social contact in England. While for many working from home has become a normal, Goldman boss David Solomon previously described it as an aberration. But rival investment bank JP Morgan is planning for significantly less office space. Goldman bankers have in large part already returned to office in parts of the Asia-Pacific region. But in India and Latin America, the devastating rise in the number of infections and deaths is leading to new lockdowns and significant strain. So we'll see. I'm not excited about getting back to work, or going back into the office anyway. French fishers are threatening to blockade the ports in the Channel Islands in an escalation of a post-Brexit row in which the French maritime minister has backed calls to cut off Jersey's electric supply. French officials have also said they will close their offices in Jersey and stop products from the island entering France. The Jersey Evening Post has reported that the possibility of stopping all commercial vessels accessing French ports and cutting off the electricity was discussed at 2 protests in France. However, Jersey's external relations minister, Senator Ian Gorst, said there was no justification for such severe measures. Government sources say the Environment Secretary, George Eustace, has reportedly tried to set up a meeting with the maritime minister in the past 48 hours, but the French have been unwilling or unable to attend. Anyway, sorry, I didn't sleep very much last night, and I just don't get the context of this story at all. French fishers threaten to cut off island. Anyway, I'm sorry. This is going to sound weird once we play it on the air. Let's just jump to another story. I don't get it. I don't care. I don't really care about the fishing. I thought when they said Jersey, I thought we were going to have a war between France and England again. And that just sounds like a fishing dispute. Six hostages are now held in Africa's troubled Sahel region. A French journalist captured by an Al-Qaeda-linked group brings to six the number of Western hostages known to be held in troubled Sahel region of the southern fringes of the Sahara. Romanian mine worker Lulian Gergut was grabbed by armed men in Burkina Faso on April 4, 2015. He'd been working in a manganese mine near the border with Mali and Niger. His kidnapping was claimed by Al-Qaeda, an Islamist group Al-Morbitoun, prominent in the Sahel. The 82-year-old Australian surgeon... Oh, they're doing a profile of all the people that were kidnapped. Why? I don't know. Anyway, there was somebody that was captured in 2017, someone in 2019, 2022, and 2018. But they're all kidnapped. The WHO, the World Health Organization, is going to set up a pandemic data hub in Berlin. Hey, we were talking about Berlin yesterday. The World Health Organization announced Wednesday it would set up a global data hub in Berlin to analyze information on emerging pandemic threats, filling the gaps exposed by COVID-19. The WHO hub for pandemic and epidemic intelligence will start operating later this year and is set to analyze data quickly and in detail in order to predict, prevent, detect, prepare for, and respond to risks worldwide. The hub will try to get ahead of the game, looking for pre-signals that go far beyond current systems that monitor publicly available information for signs of emerging outbreaks. The German Health Minister Jean Spahn said the world needed the capacity to detect outbreaks with the potential to become health crises before the threat becomes a sad reality. Very true. All right, we're going to hit some headlines real quick because we're running out of time. 10 Belarusians have filed criminal case in Germany against Lukashenko. Hamas commander warns Israel over occupied East Jerusalem attacks. Hamas military wing leader Mohammed Daif warned Israel will pay heavy price if attacks against the Sheikh Jarrah continue. And we covered kind of how Israel is a bad aggressor lately. Four are dead after a Mississippi plane crash. Not just any crash. Four people have been killed after a civilian airplane crashed into a home in Mississippi. Hattiesburg Police Department confirmed that emergency personnel responded to reports of a crash at around 11:20 p.m. on Tuesday. When emergency crews arrived on scene, it was confirmed that a civilian airplane had crashed into a home. Very scary, sad for them. UN is sounding reports of alarm on acute global shortage of midwives. The world is currently facing a shortage of 900,000 midwives, with COVID-19 further exacerbating the situation, as many midwives have been deployed to other health services, according to a new United Nations report. This comes to us from our friends at panapress.com. They're back online. Five injured in an attempted escape in the Ouagadougou prison. Ouagadougou is in Burkina Faso. Five people were injured on Tuesday during an attempted escape in the capital of Burkina Faso. And finally, earthquake hits Guinea. The earth shook again on Tuesday, very early in the morning, in the subprefecture of Benguia, located in the district of Kindia in Maritime Guinea, about 130 kilometers from the capital of Conakry. Several local radio stations reported, quoting the Guyanian news agency. Hey, what do you know? We did it. We got through our stories. Thanks for putting up with me today. Hopefully I'll get some rest and everything, but please,
well, that sounds
enjoy the dubious
our time's coming
committee.
To an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
You must enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee.
Seven, six, five, four.
Seven.